Bring my next guest in now, though, because he is the Kerry Person of the Year, recently crowned Kerry Person of the Year, David Walsh, Cardle native. David, good morning to you, and thanks for joining me in the programme.
Good morning, Jorian. Thanks for having me back.
Listen, I wanted to talk to you about, I suppose, what you said on the night when you spoke about your family, you spoke about, you know, the positive way you approach life. And, like, look at the headlines we have here this morning and other things. Everyone is concerned, and rightly so, about the problems we have. But very often we don't take enough time to look at the positive things that are happening in this country and beyond.
No, you're absolutely right. And on the night as well, I said that I was delighted to accept the award on behalf of all the Kerry places and Kerry people that influenced me over the years, particularly in relation to my mindset. And I have to say, growing up in Cordell with my siblings and my parents, there was 11 of us, four boys, four girls, mum and dad and my grandmother, living in this small two-bedroomed farm cottage. And thanks to the influence of my parents, their outlook in life, we felt that we were one of the luckiest families in Ireland. So that sort of positivity was drilled into us at a very young age, to be ambitious for ourselves and think positively. My mother was years upon years ahead of her time. She spoke about visualization long before it became a term in business or a tool for high-performing athletes. She'd say to us, whatever you want to achieve in life, then the first thing you do, you close your eyes and you visualise success. You see yourself playing Gaelic football for Kerry, living in the house you've always wanted, running a successful business. And then Dad would throw in his tuppence worth. And he'd say, and this is the piece that maybe you're coming to, he'd say, whatever you do, avoid negative, pessimistic people. Energy vampires, he would call them. They'd suck the energy out of a great idea and leave behind an empty shell. Those two nuggets of wisdom have become the cornerstone of my business philosophy throughout my life, of my even my day-to-day philosophy in terms of how I run my life. I visualize success and I surround myself with positive people to make it happen.
Yeah, and that's the important point, that element of, okay, there are issues, there are problems, but we will address them, we'll get over them, not to get bogged down in them and think that everything's terrible all the time, but there's no point in trying.
No, 100%. And I'm 36 years in business when I left Kerry to go to Carlow to join Keenan's. And there's always been challenges, there's always been uncertainty. There has never been a time in those 36 years where there was absolute certainty. So it's just part of life. And we either make excuses around them or we act positively and do positive things to make sure we get the right outcomes that we want.
And that's a fair point.
I was going to say that night in Dublin was a wonderful night. It was great to be there with my family, my kids, my siblings, my nephews and nieces, and a lot of people from Cordell came up, which is I was really surprised, but they all made the long journey. But it was fantastic. But when I think back to my youth in Kerry, and my mindset and my positivity and setting the bar high. And I mentioned that night, one of the previous recipients of the award and the influence had on me was Mico Dwyer. In 1978, Mico Dwyer was starting his fourth year as the manager of the Kerry football team. Moving into my teenage years, which are the most influential years of your life, most impressionable years. And over the next 9 years, Kerry would get to 8 All-Ireland finals, winning 7. And the mindset that the influence that I had on my mindset was just extraordinary in terms of setting the bar high and believing that we could deliver and believing in the possible. And that's the way I have run my life ever since.
Well, if you're related to Kerry football, look what happened this year. I mean, Kerry were done. They were finished. They were going to be hammered by the All-Ireland champions in the All-Ireland quarterfinal. And Friday night, there was 8 All-Stars standing in Dublin on TV.
It was a wonderful year for Kerry football. It is completely about mindset, and there's no doubt, and I know there's some criticism about some comments made by some people that we weren't playing great football, but there's two ways you can react. You can sulk, or you can say, listen, we're going to prove a point here, and they proved a point. Like winning this year's All-Ireland series, call it that, wasn't just about the final, it was the last 4 games that we played, and they were just extraordinary, really, in terms of the way we played against Armagh, Tyrone and Donegal. And it just goes to show that if we get the culture right in our organisations, if we get the right mindset, there was no doubt that camp was surrounded by positive people, which is why they delivered in such style.
Yeah, because they were being told, too many players injury, too many good players, not going to happen this year, you're not playing well, not playing well. There was plenty of negativity around the place, but there was a bubble, which is what you need to do.
And it's easy to make excuses. But the problem is, when you start making excuses, then you empower those forces to control you. We were missing our starting midfield team. We got a new midfield team. They played outstandingly brilliant in the final, both of them. And the last three matches, they played brilliantly. So you play with what you have, and you remain positive, and you drive on, and that's what they did.
Yeah, you do. Okay, David, stay with me on the line. I want to talk a bit more about what's happening in your business as well as other things. If you have a view on that, get in touch with us on the programme. We'll have more with David Walsh after we take these. Keep your views and opinions coming into us on the programme. We want to hear from you in the show. We're talking with David Walsh, Kerry Person of the Year. And David, I wanted to talk to you about, I suppose, some of the work you do and how it's informed. I know you've set up the Cancer Research Charity. You also do charity work in Haiti. And I know you mentioned during your acceptance speech of the Kerry Person of the Year Award, you talked about, I suppose, God and how Christian values influence your business.
No, absolutely. And I've never been ashamed to speak about my faith and my religion. I think it's really, really important, because I feel I've been extremely lucky in my life. And I put that luck down to my faith. The firm belief that there is a higher power, and that higher power protects me, keeps me safe, wants me to be successful. And that higher power is Jesus Christ. And, you know, I mentioned on the night that some of the people that influenced me in my life, Kerry people predominantly, and one thing consistent with those was their value system, their belief system, their religion, their faith. And one of them I mentioned on the night, and I'm glad I did, was my national school teacher in Cordell, Kilmurry Cordell. In 1976, we got a piece of luck in that we moved into a new school in Kilmurry. We joined with Lowenthorn, and a great man called Eddie Tarrant was my teacher for the last 2 years. He just joined the school. And for some reason, I don't know why, but he took me under his wing and he instilled in me a confidence and a belief that I didn't have before that. And he was a very religious man, a very spiritual man. And I'll never forget the 7th of July, 1978. It was my last day in Kilmurry National School. When the bell rang at 3 o'clock, we all raced out into the yard, punching the sky, shouting freedom. But I went back into the classroom because I wanted to say thanks for everything he had done for me for the previous 2 years. And there he was with his head in his hands in this empty classroom, his top of the classroom. And I approached him and I said, "Are you sad?" And he said, "No, I'm not sad, but I am concerned." He said, "I'm concerned because we're becoming a wealthy nation." And I was totally confused. And I said, surely it's a good thing to leave hardship and poverty behind. He said, "Yes, it is." But this is what he said, which was important to me. He said, "But wealth breeds complacency." He said, and complacency, he said, is the most devious demon of them all. If we believe because we got money in our pockets, because we drive a nice car, because we live in a nice house, that we can live our lives without Jesus Christ, then we're sadly mistaken. And he went on to say to me, he said, "Look, God has given you some great gifts. Believe in yourself, work hard, and you can be successful beyond measure. But promise me," he said, "promise me you'll never forget who gave you those gifts and you'll never turn your back on God." That piece of advice that he gave me was the cement that made NetWatch, the company I started, the great success story, global success story that it was. Because I followed my mother's advice and we visualized success. Dad's advice in surrounding ourselves by positive people, great men, great women who believe what we're trying to do. But we created a culture around Christian values, a culture around the teachings of Jesus Christ. And building a culture on Christian values does not make you soft. It makes you strong. It's not an inhibitor to growth. It's a growth accelerator. So what I learned from Master Tarrant, I brought through my life, and I still live to those rules today.
Yeah, and David, speaking of NetWatch, I want you to have a listen to this clip, and our listeners to have a listen to this clip. This is from a RTE Futureville programme, which is featuring, I think, tomorrow night on RTE. Just have a listen.
David has called the system Halo Care, and it's now offering Roger and Bridget the independence and peace of mind they've been longing for.
You have the PIR there. That's the lad that sees all the movement. The other one up here is for a lie down. If anything, if Bridget falls down or if I fall down and I'm on the ground for maybe a few minutes, it'll detect it. If Bridget is at the sink and it overflows, you have the sensor on the ground down here that will actually see that there's water. They'll call the boys and they'll call me.
The AI is called Hayley.
It's Hayley that's looking at all the information from the devices, looking for the anomalies. And Hayley can make a phone call.
Hi there. Is that David?
Yes, this is David speaking.
Oh, great. This is Hayley here from Halo Care. I'm just ringing to let you know that we think Jane might not have had anything to eat this morning.
How do you know that Jane hasn't had any food today?
We have a sensor on the fridge.
I'm an hour away, so can you check in?
I'll make sure we check in on them. Take care now.
God bless. Mind yourself.
Bye-bye.
There you go. That's a remarkable clip there. And that was the story of Roger and Bridget. Roger, whose wife Bridget had been diagnosed with Alzheimer's, and how the technology will help them maintain independence.
Absolutely. We started Halo Care during COVID in response to what was happening. I think we all saw firsthand the devastating footage of the nursing homes and body bags all over the place in New York and in Italy and so on and so forth. But there was a cohort of people like Roger and Bridget that were sort of forgotten about during that period of time. These were people who wanted to age in their own home. They wanted it as opposed to a nursing home. And they were forced to cocoon during COVID. No friends could visit, no neighbours, no family. So we just felt that we could use technology to support elderly people living in their own home. And so we put technology into the homes of those people, really, really unobtrusive technology. And we have a 24-hour care hub with nurses and care staff that follow pre-agreed protocols or care pathways when something goes wrong. Now, it's very proactive in the context that, yes, we respond to emergencies like Roger was talking about. But it goes beyond that. It's very proactive in that it learns the natural behaviour of the person in the home. And it's flagging outliers to ourselves. So if somebody isn't up on time in the morning, if somebody's taking less steps than they used in the house and so on and so forth, we're monitoring that proactively. And now we're building AI into it where we can start predicting stuff is going to happen. And AI is going to be very, very useful. It won't displace the human contact, that's still critically important, but it can do an awful lot of intelligent stuff in the background. And we have our own digital assistant. Yeah,
that's another element of, I suppose, the positivity and negativity. There's a lot of fear around AI that it's going to somehow destroy the world, but here's a positive application of it, of how it'll improve older people's lives in these situations.
Absolutely, Jerry. And there's no doubt that AI can be a force for good, but the regulators need to get up to speed in terms of putting rules in place to make sure that it's not abused. But in the main, again, go back to my positive attitude, I view it as a really positive thing, and it can really change the lives. And I think an awful lot of people are concerned, Jerry, that AI is going to get displace jobs. I don't think it will, actually. It might displace some of the very low menial jobs, like that are repetition and so on and so forth. Whereas it'll make sure that individuals will have more meaningful jobs in organisations rather than the real menial stuff, like typing up letters and contracts and all that sort of stuff, which can be done in a blink, press a button now with AI. So I'd look at that, again, in a very positive way, the impact that it might have. But you're right, tomorrow night at 7 o'clock on RTE1, they're highlighting future technologies in healthcare, and they're doing a big section on Halo Care, what we're doing for the elderly. And it's great because I think the vast majority of us, Jerry, and all your listeners would like to age at home if we could. But there are challenges there in relation to cognitive decline, like poor Bridget has, or where somebody's very frail and they're at risk of falling. But technology can play a huge role. It's not the panacea for everything. There needs to be human interaction, but it has a huge role to play.
Yeah, certainly does. Well, David, look, we're out of time, but thanks so much for taking time to talk to me this morning about all that.
Pleasure.
And giving us your thoughts.
God bless, and thanks very much.
Brilliant. David Walsh there, Kerry Person of the Year, with me on the line. If you have a view on that, get in touch. Just thought we'd catch up with him following on from his accepting of the Kerry Person of the Year and some of the points he made in his speech. And look, it's a positive message for a Monday morning. If you have a view on what he had to say, get in touch with us in the programme.